or occasionally complain. Oh, why this? Or why that? Oh, God, why me? Yes. But instead of that, we should respond to our own complaining with finding something that is good in it to be thankful for. We should look at the positive side and not the negative. We do not dwell on the negative stuff. We should always dwell on the positive ones. Now we'll go to our second point, expressing gratitude regardless of what. Sometimes we don't see the full picture or the bigger picture when things happen to us or when life happens. You know, we can't look at every situation and clearly understand why they are happening. We can't. But as we know, the scripture says in Romans 8 and verse 28, which has become one of my favorite verses in the Bible. See, all things work, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. Situation that happened to you, and when we complain and say, oh, God, why me? How about, you know, what is happening to me now? And sometimes God will use those situations to get us out of the way so he can do his job. That in the future, you will see and find out that the reason why certain things happen is for this thing to come to pass. God sometimes will protect us from our very selves. And as I come to, you know, bring this message, I just want to make this my own testament. You know, like our sister just shared her testimony. I have my own testimony that I have to share when it comes to this scripture. How God do some things sometimes to prevent us from ourselves. I come from Liberia. And as you've heard, or you may have heard, that in Liberia there was civil war for a long time. It started in 1989 and 90 and onward. Well, the two groups that started this fight, that were the culprit for this war that began the whole story, I was connected to both of them. My father's side was the ruling, you know, government, which is the Crown Tribe. My mother's side was the Dan Tribe, or the Gil, as we call it in Liberia. They were the opposition to the government. When this war broke out, there were a section of us who lived in Nima County, about less than 18,000 people. We spoke both languages. We spoke the Crown dialect and we spoke the Dan. So when the war broke out, my brother, my uncle was in the military. I used to live with him before I moved out of his house and moved on my own and started working with the U.S. Embassy. Well, when it started, the people from my father's side, some of the bad ones who didn't care, this man being in the military all this time working with you, they said, well, he's from that tribe, so we're going to kill them. What they do is they round them up early in the morning at 4:30, 5 o'clock, take them to the beach and execute them. But as they were carrying my Uncle John, one of the guys who worked with him told him, he said, look, man, I don't want to kill you. Since you're on my side, when I'm shooting, just drop in the water and crawl and go, you know, and when you get out, just run. So as they were shooting, he was shooting up in the air, and John was crawling on the seashore in the water going the other way. Because it's dark, it's you know, early morning, and he came to my house. He's tall, about 6'3", 6'4". He came to ask for pants because he had his short little fatigue pants on because they would undress them to shoot them. So I gave him my pants, and that morning I, you know, laughed at him. I said, look, Uncle, you look like Michael Jackson now. You know, the because my pants were way up. So, you know, he went to a place called Greystone. Greystone was an installation where the Americans lived, the diplomats, the staff. That's where they live, and they go to the embassy to work. Because they were all evacuated, they didn't invite us in there. When the war got tough, the people broke in and started building tents all over the place to live. So that was the neutral ground. So when he went there, I went there as well. And he told me, he said, look, the people from our mother's side, I saw them today. They say, you know, because I was in the military, they want me to go there, you know, and join them. I said, oh, that sounds like a plan. He said, look, when I go, rice, you know, was very scarce at the time, and rice is our staple food. He said, when I go, I will send you, you know, bring you back some rice. I said, good. So he left. Well, he left. One of my friends who worked with me in the embassy, he had his sister to a place called West Point. So we were going to find food. We went to find food. When we got there, the sister cooked us one cup of rice, butter and pepper and salt. That was good. We ate it and started coming back to Greystone. Well, unfortunately, we got ran over by some rebel who had a vehicle. They just took people's vehicle and just drive. So they ran us over. Well, Nehemiah died on the spot. And my right, you know, ankle broke completely out of joint. Well, my foot was in they wrapped my foot up, put my foot in the boots, cast. And I was laying in a laundry room of the deputy chief of mission. It's a laundry room, and three families were in there, my mom, my sister, my, you know, little brother. So I get to find out later that Uncle John was executed by these people. Then I find out my late brother Thompson and another cousin were executed, you know, by the people from my mother's side also. I was angry to I don't know what point. I'm waiting for my rice to come so we can get some food. My uncle went and he didn't come back. And I get to hear, you know, that he's dead. So I was enraged, and all that was in my heart is to go and join, you know, the father's side. I said I didn't care, I was going to go. If I had leg, I didn't care, I was going to go. If they killed me, well, that's it. But if they didn't kill me and I joined them, I would go and take revenge. But I had no leg, so there was nothing I could do. The war was over. The war was over. And then instead of going to join to fight, I returned to the embassy to do my security job. There was no need now to go fight. The war has subsided for a certain point. And I'm saying that to say that if I had leg on that time, if I was, you know, strong, I would have gone to join. Who knows what would have happened? There's one thing. They would have told me, you know, you're a spy, you came to spy, and they killed me, or they still come and join us. Maybe I'll go on the war front. I wouldn't be here today to share this testimony. That's how God works in your life. God will take you out of the way to pull himself in the picture. And I'm always thankful because of that. When I think about it now, I'm very thankful. And when I see this, all things work together for good. God took me out of the way because he knew that if I were well and capable, I was going to go to fight. So when things happen in your life, calm down, give God the glory anyway. Because the pastor said last week, give God in everything, give him thanks. So, regardless of the situation, we should give thanks for his presence. We can rise above our situation when we purposefully look to God for what he is doing in the middle of what's going on around us. On our own, we tend to focus on the situation that we are in. And then we react instead of focusing on God, who is able to do what he does to protect us. We should praise God every time. Next page, Andrea. We should praise God when all is well. There are some people, you know, let's see here what Jesus said. Jesus asked the question. Jesus asked the question in Luke 17:17. So he answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Sometimes when life is going well in our life, some people tend to forget. I know good people, you know, back home who were very religious, who went to church, they never missed a Sunday, they fasted, they did everything. But they come here and they get a job, they got a fancy car, they got big buildings, and now they're working and they don't come to church. They're too busy now for God. That should not be our position. We should always be thankful and always give God the glory for everything that he does. We shouldn't look at life because it's good for us to go and just forget about God. Sometimes they're boasting about themselves. Oh, I got it going on, you know, this, that. And they're not thinking about, you know, how to even thank God because everything is fine. They're bragging, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But it should not be what we as Christians should do. See, we don't know how he protects us. The scripture says he leads us beside the still waters. He guides us. He is our shepherd. So we should always be thankful to God in everything. But where are the 9? The 9 were gone. Jesus compared them because Jesus always compared Christians to the worldly people, because if the worldly person can do something good and positive and the Christians don't do it, that's why I can disappoint Jesus. And those are the things that he compared these stories for us to know. He said he was a Samaritan and he came back. So we should always be thankful to God because we are the church. If we cannot, you know, praise God and we sit down and let other people praise God, and what is our position? What happened? The leper who was healed was not even part of the chosen tribe. But he came back, though, and gave God the glory. We should emulate the attitude of this Samaritan and not the attitude of the rest of them that went and never came back. We should always praise God no matter what. We should learn to see how bad experiences can produce good results or good outcomes. Because something may happen to you that is bad, but at the end of it, it ended up to be good. My foot was broken, I was paralyzed. And I'm here today because I did not go to war to fight. I was going to go to revenge and do that. I would have been foolish and got picked up by a bullet. I wouldn't be here to share a testimony. But because of that thing that happened to me, it saved me from going to war or doing harm to myself. There's a lesson in every difficult situation that we face in life. Every challenges that come, there's a lesson that we should learn from these things. The 10 lepers, though they were lepers, they were far off. But you see, even though these 9, they went, but they were hopeful. They kept their distance, but they were looking for every opportunity to get healed until Jesus came. And as we heard, they yelled with a loud voice and wanted Jesus to heal them. And we should always be hopeful. They had a difficult situation. They were outcast from the society. They had to take food to them because they were at a distance. They couldn't come to regular folks. So when things happen to us, we need to keep positive attitude and not dwell on the bad ones. Because God, who is the beginning and the end, who is the God of yesterday, the God of today, and God of tomorrow, is on our side. All we need to do is look to him and see what he would do in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Bad situations tend to build characters. Because when you struggle and come through that bad situation, you are able to tell somebody else, you know, look, I've been there, and you can be a counselor to that person. We can use their experience to encourage others that face similar situation. You know, we all know Genesis, and we all know the story about Joseph. Joseph had a terrible situation. His own brothers put him in a pit, want to kill him. But B-Bear Rubin said, nah, we can't kill him. We don't want blood on our hands. Let's just sell him out. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites. Ishmaelite took him and took him to Potiphar. Potiphar got him. He was doing good. And then he got accused. And then they took him and put him to jail. It took him 13 years. But during that time, if you read that part of Genesis, they said God was with him. And he had a positive attitude. He even was the counselor in the prison. Telling dreams and counseling people in the prison. We should always have that positive attitude. Because if you think, you know, if you be angry, it will not benefit you. We should always learn to appreciate and be thankful to God for the situation and not lose our place. Joseph went through all that situation, all that thing he went through. He was still positive. We have to recognize the source of our blessings and be thankful, like the one and not the nine. The one went and came back to Jesus and gave him thanks. And look what Jesus said when he came back. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is double blessing that he's getting because he was already healed before he came back. But Jesus said, go. You are well. Your faith has made you well. So let us learn to be thankful to God. We always say, when praises go up, blessings come down. Well, praise God. If somebody helps you in any situation and you don't give them thanks, the next time you go, they will think you are ungrateful and they may not be in a position to help. But God, our Father, when we come to him and thank him every time, God is faithful according to what songwriters always say, God is faithful. He never fails. And regardless of the situation we may find ourselves in, God is always there to answer us. Before we conclude, King David, they say he danced. He's a king. And he danced when the Ark of the Covenant came back to the tabernacle. David was so happy. And they were dancing. And his wife said, why did you act so simple today, man? Why are you out there acting a fool? But David was praising God. David was a humble man. He was a man after God's own heart. He was praising God for what happened. And that's the position that we also should have, to praise God. Thanksgiving is a superpower. When you give thanks, it means a lot. It enables us to see past our experiences and embrace how God is moving when we give thanks. It is always good. Not only that, thankful people are able to draw strength from gratitude, but they are also able to empower others with their perspective as well. David was a man after God's own heart. When you think you got it so bad, you're not. There's somebody else that has it bad. So, this part of my message, I will need help from the congregation. The next page, please. Our scripture says, you know, the last scripture that we read together said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. He is good. And so, when I tell you the situation, you will help me, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. So things can happen in your life. We're living in the word, and word things will happen. Life will happen. You can be unemployed today. But one thing that you should know, that to give thanks to God, because his mercy endures forever. Your car can break down, and you're on the highway, and you're thinking how to do, what to do, and where to go from there. One thing you have to do, to give thanks to God, because he's good and his mercy endures forever. We have children. Sometimes they don't cooperate with us. Sometimes they become rebellious and they do things. When that happens also, give thanks to God, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Disappointment can happen. But we have to give thanks. Good or bad news can happen, but we have to give thanks because he is good and his mercy endures forever. There is someone always who has it worse than you. I close with this short story. When the slaves from here went to Liberia, they had the government in Monrovia, the capital city of Liberia, which is named after, I think, your fifth president, James Monroe. They set up the government, and they sent messengers to go and collect taxes, villages that they have not even been, they haven't seen. They went there to collect taxes from the people, and if you didn't have, you know, money to pay your tax, they will seize your kettles, you know, your money, whatever you have, they will take it from you. They might even put lock on your door. And if you don't have anything, guess what? They may beat you up and even take the clothes on your back. That's how mean those messengers used to be. There were two guys. The one guy, they took his property, but because he didn't have any money, they were mean to him. They took all his clothes as well. He became ashamed and jumped in the woods and went to the river trying to see if people would be crossing, coming. He would beg them for clothes. The one other guy, they took all his cattle and everything from him from a different town. And he came, with him. He was mad. He wanted to commit suicide. So he came running down the river looking for rope or jumping in the river. So this naked guy said, what happened, man? He said, I'm going to commit suicide. He said, why? He said, they took all my stuff. He said, you see me here? I ain't got no clothes on. But me, I want to go back. What you do, go back to town, look for clothes and bring it to me. You know, he said, don't try to encourage me. No, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to end my life. I don't want to deal with this no more. They went back and forth. So the naked guy said, okay, let me ask you a favor. He said, okay. He said, the clothes you got on, you're going to die anyway, so give me that. He said, give me your clothes. I'll be able to go to town and hustle. I can work for people, you know, and get contract and reestablish my life. So this guy said, The light bulb came on then. He said, if this guy without clothes want my clothes to go to town, how about me? So I might as well go to town and start life all over. So he said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Since you're embarrassed to go to town, I'm going to go to town and find you a clothes, we can work together and look for things to reestablish our life. And that's the moral of the story is, my father told me this, he said, be content in life. Anything that happened, just be thankful that you are alive. You can still go on and establish, you know, and do other things. You can go ahead and do other things. Don't end your own life. On that note, I say thank you for listening, and God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for your word. We give you the glory and the honor. Help us to always rely on you and always be grateful and thank you in our lives. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Lord, for all his blessings. Yep. Would everyone please stand and sing with us? Thank you, Lord.
One more time. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And that's why we want to thank our Lord. I want to encourage you this week. We're going to spend a lot of time with our families. We're going to celebrate all the great things this week. But remember that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights.
Amen.
And there is no shadow of turning.